elevated woman is elected to Mr. Spencer, Pastor Senator, Congressman of the United States, in the Elgin, Texas. Today is September 1, 2025, or is the 10th day of Elul 2029. We're going to start our service day with two tonnage reading, number 33, and it's entitled "The Painting of the Sanctuary, When and How It Done." Two tonnage reading, number 33. We're going to do "The Painting of the Sanctuary, When and How It Done." This is taken two tonnage reading. Number 33, Brother V.T. Hollis. And we have a text for prayer. It is entitled "Grow in Grace or Else Die." Okay, it's taken from Christ's Object Lesson, page 65 by Ellen G. White. "For the germination of the seed represents the beginning of the spiritual life, and the development of the plant is a beautiful figure of the Christian growth, as in the nature, so in the grace. There can be no life without growth, for the plant must either grow or die. As its growth is solid and imperceptible but continues, so is the development of the Christian life. At every stage of development, our life may be perfect, yet if the Yahshua's purpose for us is fulfilled, it will be the continual advancement. For the sanctification is a work of a lifetime. As our opportunities multiply, our experience will enlarge, and our knowledge increases. We shall become strong to bear the responsibility, and our maturity will be in proportion to our purposes." Okay, what is our need of prayer? Let us pray to grow in grace. And as I had my part that I had written about this grace thing, it says, "The growing grace as we learn to face this earth's changing time. For there can be no life without the growth. To advance with the truth, to take advantage of all our opportunities, to cooperate with the divine agency, to be willing to bear the responsibility, to realize that when we do all these, then our responsibilities will increase and our maturity will be commensurate unto our privileges. The cleansing of the sanctuary, when and how done." Our text is found in the Daniel chapter 8. Verse 14. I shall begin with verse 13. Daniel 8:13-14. "Then I heard one saint speaking. Another saint said unto that certain saint, Respect. How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of the desolation? To give both the sanctuary and the host to charge underfoot. And he said unto me, Under 2,300 days then shall the sanctuary be finished. To this question, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily and the transgression of the desolation? To give both the sanctuary and the host to charge underfoot. Came the answer, Unto 2,300 days then shall the sanctuary be found. That is, within the 2300 days, the data shall be taken away. The transgression of the desolation set up, the sanctuary and the host shall be trodden under foot. After this, the sanctuary is to repent. Every morning, the margin denotes 24 hour days, full measure of time. Daniel 8:16-17. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Elia, which called, and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood. And when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. For the Gabriel's explanation that at the time of the end shall be the vision shows that the paramount importance of the vision is the cleansing of the sanctuary, and that it takes place not in the Daniel time, and not before the time of the end, but after the 2300 days, in the time of the end. Now, since the 2300 days began somewhere in the 5th century, before the Yahshua, that would be B.C., seen in the following verses. And since the vision was to be for many days, for the time of the end, then obviously the 2300 days must be computed a day for a year, as in the Ezekiel 4:6. The 2300 days, therefore, are actually 2300 years, and the end of which the sanctuary is cleansed. But the signs are to mark the time of the end. Daniel 12:4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. For the angel explained at the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And the fact that men are now running to and fro, and that the knowledge has been increased in itself, proves that we are now living in the time of the end, that the vision is now to be understood, and that the sanctuary is now to be cleansed. Daniel 8:18-21. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright, and he said, Behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the end of nation, for at the time upon it the end shall be. For the ram which thou sawest having 10 of 2 horns are the kings of the Media and Persia, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Here you see what the prophetic history of this vision begins. Or where? Let's do that again. Here you see where the prophetic history of this vision begins. Or it begins with the Medo-Persian Empire and carries us in the time through the victories of Alexander the Great. Daniel 8:23, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressions are come to the full, a king of the fierce countenance and understanding dark senses shall stand up. And the latter end of the Medes and the Greeks, when the transgressions, the Jews are come to the full, another king or kingdom was to stand up, for it was none other than Rome, the kingdom which overran the four Grecian divisions. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for the many days. And I, Daniel, fainted. And with six certain days afterward, I rose up and did the king's bidding. And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Brother Daniel here confesses that the meager explanation that the Gabriel gave concerning the vision was not sufficient. None could understand it. Consequently, as the time went on, and as he still could not understand the vision, all together the set time for the liberation had come. He graphically said in Daniel 9:1-3, 22 and 23. In the first year of the Darius, successor to Cyrus, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which is made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Okay. The Chaldeans are Babylonians. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years whereof the word of Yahshua came unto Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Yahweh, the Father, for the seeking by the prayer and supplication with the fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came, forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. Because Gabriel was to begin where he left off, Daniel 8, he counseled Daniel first to consider the vision, then said Gabriel. Daniel 9:24. For the 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, for the finishing of the transgression, and for the making of an end of the sins, and for the making reconciliation for the iniquity, and for the bringing in of the everlasting righteousness, and for the sealing up of the vision and prophecy, and for the anointing of the most holy. Thank you. Gabriel is here explaining the vision of the chapter 8, the things that were to take place during the 2300 days. The 70 weeks are therefore a part of the 2300 days. Okay. Now they have a chart here of the 2300 days prospect. We can only study what we can read. For the 70 weeks are actually 490 years. Mark that during these 490 years, Daniel's people, the Jews, were to make an end of sin. And make reconciliation for their iniquity, or else be hopelessly given up. Now I'm going to go and reread what I just read, because there is a clear, clear understanding of what we just read that we need to understand. So I'm going to start with, let us now study this subject with the aid of this chart. For the 70 weeks are actually 490 years. Mark that during these 490 years, Daniel's people, the Judeans, not Jews, the Jews is a slang name given to the apostles at the cross. In Daniel's day, there was no such thing as Jews, J-E-W-S. If it was of the tribe of Judah, then they were called Judeans. And that's what Daniel was of the tribe of Judah. So when he raised marks that during these 490 years, Daniel's people, the Judeans, of the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, of Genesis 49:10, where it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So Daniel was only, vision was only supposed to be opened up in the end time to the house of Judah, to the tribe of Judah, the house of David. It wasn't to be opened up to anybody else in the Adventist movement. From 1844 clear up to 2003 with Rollis Johnson closing out the third feeding pasture at Gilead Center for the Seventh-day Adventist and bringing the Seventh-day Adventist movement to a close. So this vision then can only be opened up after Gilead Center closes up, and that was in 2003. The Gilead Center closed up, closing out the judgment of the dead, closing out the sixth seal, closing out the sixth trumpet, for to make an end of sin. Okay. So now this new house of David, this of the tribe of Judah, that's going to be opened up in the 12th parabolic hour for the fulfillment of Daniel's vision, that the time of the end shall be the vision. We're in the time of the end here in the 12th hour. Rollis Johnson, Gilead Center, was not in the time of the end in the 11th hour. The time of the end is in the 12th hour, and that's the time we're in now, and have been ever since 2003. And make reconciliation for their iniquity, or else be hopelessly given up. Next, Daniel was told where the 70 weeks began, Daniel 9:25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the prince Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, for the street shall be built again. And the wall and the troublous time. Now that should say walls, W-A-L-L-S, because there's more than one wall around Jerusalem. There's four walls around Jerusalem. From the command to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto Yahshua the Prince, there's something misprinted here. Let's read that again. From the commandment for the restoring and for the rebuilding of the Jerusalem unto the Prince Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, there were to be 7 weeks, 49 years, and 62 weeks, 434 years. Altogether, 69 weeks in all. 483 years. For the history shows that the decree for the rebuilding of the ancient city went forth in the year of 457 B.C. Hence, 483 years from the 457 B.C. bring us unto 27 A.D. and to the year that the Yahshua, the Messiah, was baptized at 30 years old. So 27 A.D. should actually read 31 A.D. to be accurate. This incident also proved that the 2300 days are computed a day for a year, and that the 70 weeks of the first block of the time come within the 2300 days. Look at the chart. We should now remember that after cutting off of the 69 weeks from the 70 weeks, there is yet 1 week left. What takes place during this week? Is told in the verses that follow. Daniel 9:26-27. And after 62 weeks shall the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood. So those people that came and destroyed the city, they were Yahshua's people. They were the people of Prince Yahshua that he sent to destroy the city because of their wickedness. And the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. So when Yahshua told the disciples there shall not be one stone left upon another, that will not be thrown down, that this temple is going to be destroyed, he didn't tell them that he is going to send his people to destroy it. This is the first time I've seen this. Daniel 9:26-27. And he shall confirm the covenant with the many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause his sacrifice and the oblation, you see. And for the overspreading of the abomination, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. What was to take place during the first 7 weeks, or 49 years? For I am not prepared to say. vertigo in the end of the next 62 weeks, or the 434 years of the Yahshua that was to be cut off, crucified during the remaining week, the 70th, for he was confirmed, it was for the confirming of the, let's do it again, for he is with the confirming of the covenant with the many, and in the midst of the week, he is or was to be cut off, and was cut off, crucified, that is, there were to be 3 1/2 years from his baptism until the crucifixion, and 3 1/2 years after the crucifixion, in which he was to confirm the covenant. This completes the 70 weeks and brings us unto the time that the apostles were commanded to go out and preach the plan of the salvation, or faith in the plan of the salvation. Let's read that again. The apostles were commanded for the going out and for the preaching of the faith and the blood of the Yahshua, as the plan of salvation for the Gentiles. One, named the Cornelius, a Gentile, and Peter, a Jew. I don't like that. Peter was of the tribe of Judah, a Judean. He was not a Jew. Jew was a slang name that the Greeks give to the apostles, like a cuss word. And all the 11 apostles were from the tribe of Judah. Matter of fact, all 12 of the apostles, counting Matthias, and then counting Paul. Paul was of the, he was of the tribe of Benjamin. And the apostles were both given a vision. For the Cornelius was instructed to see Peter, and Peter was commanded to meet the Cornelius. See Acts chapter 10. For the Jews as a nation failed to make an end of sin, and were therefore rejected and given up for the Yahshua's own sacrifice at the end of the first 3 1/2 years, replaced the sacrificial ceremonial system, and thus he called the sacrifice to cease in the midst of the week. All this time and event, you see, took place exactly as the Gabriel predicted. Nevertheless, even with this added explanation, Daniel still was not able to comprehend all that was in the vision. Verily, as the time went on, and as his burden for the deliverance of his people increased, knowing that the time had come, Daniel is with the praying for the light, for his prayer is recorded in the first part of the chapter 10, after the angel appeared and again explained. Daniel 10:21. Verily, I will show unto thee that which is noted in the scripture of the truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things. only Michael, your prince. Brother Daniel was then promised all of the light that could be given, not only on the vision of the Daniel 8, but also on all that is noted in the scripture of the truth in the connection with the vision. That which the angel showed him is recorded in the Daniel 11 and 12. Chapter 11, you will see, begins with the vision of the Daniel 8 with the kings of the Medo-Persia and Grecia as symbolized by the ram and the he-goat in the chapter 8. Then the Daniel was told that the explanation at last was sufficient, but that it was impossible for him to understand it all, for the vision was sealed until the time of the end. Chapter 12, verse 8 of the Daniel, and 9. By this long prophetic history and geography, as seen in chapter 11 and 12, the angel brings this up until the time of the end, until the time of the cleansing for the that is to take place, that was to take place. Let's go and read that again. By this long prophetic history and geography, as seen in the chapter 11 and 12, the angel brings us up unto the time of the end, unto the time that the cleansing is to take place. And here is the nature of the cleansing according unto the angel's word. Daniel 12:1, and at that time shall the Michael stand up, as Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, as the great prince that standeth for the children of thy people. And that there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even unto that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book, by the delivering of the righteous. He thoroughly separates the righteous from among the wicked. For he puts the good fish in the vessel and casts out the bad. Matthew 13:48. He shall cleanse his people from sin and sinners. Daniel 12:2-3. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some unto everlasting life, and some unto shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many unto righteousness as the stars forever and ever. For the wicked that arise with the righteous in this mixed resurrection are also to be separated from the righteous after their resurrection. For the wicked are put to shame and everlasting contempt, but the righteous are to be given eternal life. And they're just separating them right there after their resurrection. Daniel 12:10. For many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. For the living righteous shall be purified, but the wicked shall become even more wicked than the twelve living shall. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. Okay, now when did they take the daily sacrifice away? About 38 A.D. when the Inquisition of the Dark Ages began with the Catholic Church in charge of the church and state rule. And that's when the Pope Temple, the sanctuary on the church, took it out of operation, and at the same time took the daily operation out of the way and trampled it underfoot. He didn't destroy it. He couldn't destroy it because the deity was being carried on the heavenly sanctuary by Yahshua, the high priest, and there was no way you can destroy the deity here on earth. But you can stop it from being carried on in your church, and that's what the Catholic Church did. Once they took over the Apostolic Church and put it under their rule, then they was able to delete the daily sacrifice as well as trample the whole sanctuary system underfoot here on earth, but not in heaven. And so the saints that escaped the Dark Ages and went out and hid in the mountains, and they wandered for thousands of miles. From Rome, they roam for a thousand miles up north, going clear up into the Netherlands to hide. And they lived in valleys and mountains for that 1260 years. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh this is set up, there shall be 1290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Well, you know, this makes you think about when the daily was restored in our day by Brother Stubby Johnson, 1970. Oh, he was so proud that he was able to explain Yahweh's government and had the talent and the gift for restoring of the creation calendar that Yahweh personally gave to Brother Johnson on a moment-by-moment, a day-by-day situation until Brother Johnson got that calendar. And then he told Brother, he said, teach my people my government and restore the daily. And so Brother Johnson, he restored the daily. He said at 9 o'clock and at 3 o'clock we got to do a daily recognition of those sacred hours. He rode in the truck. He had it delivered by myself, even that truck to the Adventists, telling them in the Seventh-day Adventist Church that they now the restoration of the sanctuary had already taken place with the creation calendar, that they were now required to keep all the holy days of the year, starting with the Seventh-day Sabbath first and foremost, and then do the daily at the 9 and 3 o'clock sacred hours. And he told the Adventists, and this is what will sanctify the whole church. So Brother Johnson, he put it into operation. He sanctified Gilead Center with that in 1970, on 71, that with the restoring of the daily sacrifice and all the holy days, and putting it in a calendar and hanging it up on your wall. So that none need error, all they gotta do is go look at your calendar on your wall, and you'd know exactly what to do each day. You'd know when each holy day would come. And there's 70 of them in a year. There's your annuals, and there's your monthlies, and there's your weeklies. It's a holy day. And so, Brother Johnson, he intensely worked on that creation calendar for 7 years and finally got the final piece of the puzzle in the seventh year and announced it. And then Well, on the whole, though, the deity had slipped. Brother Johnson was letting the deity slip, and they weren't enforcing it, and he himself quit observing the deity. And so, July 14, 2002, when I was in a position to give Rose and his wife a message from heaven telling them what was causing them to lose all their blessings and showing them what was the cause of it. And the last and not least was a daily. I said, restore the daily. And he said, no, we don't have to do the daily here in the earth. We wait till we get to the land to do the daily. I said, no, brother. You restored it in 1970-71, you restored it, you rescinded it, you restored it back in 1983, you rescinded it, and now you're telling us that we don't have to do the daily. I said, no. If you don't do it, I'll do it. And that set him on fire. Okay. So this is where we're at. Brother Johnson, he repeated. Then, when Rulla Johnson rescinded the daily, he became the abomination that maketh desolate at Gilead Center. That's why Gilead Center came to a close. Because he didn't perfect his own household and sanctify his own household by the observing of the daily every day. And by not doing that, he wasn't able to enforce the rest of the congregation to do it. And so they all rescinded it. And I, even myself, was guilty. My wife was following exactly what Gilead Center had done for so many years. But when Yahweh gave me that message on July 14, 2002, he said, restore the daily. Tell Rose, if he doesn't do it, you'll do it. And so by heaven giving me a command to do it myself, if Rose doesn't do it, that's the reason why I'm here today. We're at the 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We're at the ninth hour, observing the daily. That's part of this sermon right here. Here another block at a time from within the 2300 days is introduced as we continue to read, beginning from the time that the day. Let's read that again now. Here is another block of the time from within the 2300 days being introduced, beginning with and from the daily, beginning with and from the time that the daily was abolished. And about the abomination set up. Let's do it again. And of the abomination that was set up. For the daily represents something which should not have been abolished. And that's what I told Brother Johnson. I said, you should have never abolished it in after you stood up in 1971. You shouldn't have abolished it when you restored it in 1918. You abolished it again. I said, twice you abolished it. So here it is right here in the prophecy. Should not have been abolished the first time. And the abomination represents something that should not have been set up. For the word sacrifices belong in the text. And Richie Holler, in his original writing of this, he said that the sacrifice did not belong in the text, but I edited this. And this is my editing. For the word sacrifices belong in the text. For the light on these read track number 3, the harder. For it should be noticed, however, that the promised blessing, the cleansing does not begin until after the 1335 days. All years expire. Since the 2300 year period begins in the 457 B.C. with the commandment for the restoring And for the rebuilding of the city, Jerusalem, the 2300 days consequently end in 1844. For the time of the 1335 days end. Then the days of the blessings begin, for it should now be remembered that this cleansing of the sanctuary includes the cleansing of both those who are to be resurrected and those who are to be living during the cleansing time, speaking through the prophet Ezekiel of the cleansing among the living. Yahweh says, Ezekiel 36:24-29, "For I will take you from among the heathen and get you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all of your filthiness, and from all of your idols will I cleanse you." "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Yahweh. For I will also save you from all of your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. None of the living shall actually be cleansed from all of the marks of the sin while among the Gentile nation, for they must first be separated from the hypocrites and Gentiles." Now all Gentiles now are wicked. You got the Gentiles that are actually kinsmen. They're Israelites. And so you got a remnant of them also that has to be saved, or will be saved. "Then brought into their own land, there to be sprinkled with the clean water. Cleansed from all." Let's read that all again now. "For they must first be separated from the hypocrites and the Gentile nations. Then brought into their own land, there to be sprinkled with the clean water, cleansed from all of their filthiness and from all of their idols when they get into their own land, not before. Even a new heart is to be given unto them there, and a new spirit also. Thus will the Yeshua cause them to walk in his statutes and keep his judgment forevermore. Thus shall they return and dwell in the land of their fathers, Palestine, and thus shall they be the Yahweh's people eternally. These things you see are premillennial." Alright, let us now examine the cleansing according to the prophets Joel, Malachi, and Jeremiah. Joel 3:21, "For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, dwelleth in Zion." Malachi 3:1-3, for behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And who is that messenger? And typical Elijah. And the Yeshua, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger, and typical Elijah, of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come and say to Yeshua of the host, who may abide the day of his coming, is a question. And who shall stand when he speaketh, is another question. For he is like a refiner's fire, and like the fuller soap. And he, Yeshua, the Prince of Peace, shall sit as a refiner and purifier of the silver. And he shall purify the sons of the Levi and purge them as the gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahshua an offering and righteousness. Jeremiah 31:31-33, behold, the day is come, saith the Yahshua. Now let's do it again. For behold, the day is come, saith the Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of the Israel and with the house of the Judah, the lawgiver, house of David, everlasting kingdom of heaven, who sit upon this in the days of these kings. Daniel 2:44-45. Not according unto the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand for the bringing them out of the land of the Egypt. For my covenant they break. Although I was an husband unto them, saith the Yeshua, son of Yahweh. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of the Israel. After those days, saith Yeshua, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their Redeemer, Savior, Yeshua. And they shall be my people. For the old covenant has been for the keeping of the commandments, while they are written not on the heart, verily on the tables of the stone, against the will of the stony heart. But the new covenant is for the cleansing of them from their stony hearts, and for the writing the commandments on their hearts of the flesh. Jeremiah 31:34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Yahshua, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Yahshua. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. When the Yahweh's people are thus cleansed, then they shall all know the Yahshua. Then they shall indeed be his people, his nation. And the Yahweh's guarantee is this. Jeremiah 31:35-36. Thus saith the Yahshua, which giveth the sun for a light by the day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by the night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. For the Yahshua of the host is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yahshua, then the seed of the Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Let's go back and read all that over again. Jeremiah 31:35-36. Thus saith the Yahweh, the Father, which giveth the sun for a light by the day, and the ordinances of the moon, and of the stars for a light by the night, that divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. For the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, is of the host is his name. Let's go back and read that whole thing all over again. Disregard the first two readings. Jeremiah 31:35-36. Thus saith the Yahshua of the host, son of Yahweh, that giveth the sun for a light by the day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by the night, that divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. For the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, of the host is his name. And if those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, then the seed of the Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Does the Yahshua do this because his people have been good, or because he wants to vindicate his name? Let us see. Ezekiel 36:20-24. And when they entered unto the heathen, let's do it again. And when they had entered into the heathen, whither they went, for they had profaned my holy name, when they said unto them, these are the people of the Yahweh, and are gone forth out of his land. But I have pity for mine holy name, which the house of the Israel has profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of the Israel, thus saith the Yahweh Almighty, the Father, for I do not this for your sakes, O house of the Israel. Verily, for my holy name's sake, that you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, that you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Yahweh, saith the Yahweh Almighty, the Father, and I shall be sanctified in you before the eyes. I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries and will bring you into your own land. Plainly the word declares that the sanctuary is to be a cleansed, that the land also is to be reclaimed and the kingdom restored, not by the reason of the people's goodness, verily, for the Yahweh's name's sake, for his own goodness' sake. Let's do that again. Verily, for the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh's name's sake, for his own goodness' sake, for the heathen also will know what the Yahshua has done for his people, for the scriptures show that all of this shall take place right before their eyes. This same cleansing Yahshua describes of this. Matthew 25:32-34. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall sit the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Here is a church. That's a denomination. That's overlooked. Well, they think that they are to make a beeline to the throne of the Yahweh for the millennium. Only though, according unto the scriptures here, you will see that the people must first be separated from among the heathen and cleansed from all their filthiness, and thus be unable to stand in the presence of a pure and eternal Yahweh. Thus is the sanctuary among the living men. Let's read that again, the last part. And thus be unable to stand in the presence of the pure and eternal Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. Thus is the sanctuary among the living friends, and thus are the people to be fitted for the reigning with the Yahshua for 1,000 years. Brothers, sisters, make certain that she be found not among the goats on the left, but with the sheep on his right, if you are to hear the king say, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Matthew 25:34. And remember that we have now been living in the time of the end for some years. Moreover, I'd like to correct that right now. B.T. Holliff is telling the people here back in 1930, 31, 32, or back up to 1947, 48. And remember that we now, remember that we have now been living in the time of the end. Well, in a sense, for the Adventists, that is true, because the 2300 days marks the beginning of the time of the end in 1844, first for the time period for the judgment of the dead. That took quite a few years before that, because the judgment of the dead lasted from 1844 to 2003. For some years, moreover, this light has now come because the cleansing of the living members of the church is at hand. This brings in verse 10. This is our contest. This is the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.